Let's turn tonight in the Word of God, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55, reading together from verse number 1. While you're turning that up, I'd like to again say to the boys and girls, excellent. You can give yourselves all a good pat on the back. It was very, very good. A lot of hard work there. And you all did everybody proud tonight. And I'm sure your parents and loved ones watching on are very proud of you all. Isaiah 55, please, and reading together from verse number 1. Isaiah 55, reading together from verse number 1, please. Let's hear the word of God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labour for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. End our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart for his name's sake. Could we just unite our hearts in one moment's prayer, please, as we come to the preaching now of the word. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, and in the meeting those that love the Lord, let's pray together, please. Almighty God and Father in heaven, the stillness and quietness of God's house, we approach the throne. We thank thee for the blood of the Lamb that brings us nigh. Thank thee for the Saviour of sinners. Thank thee for the one that came to seek and save that which is lost. And O God, we come to thee upon that ground of redemption. And in Jesus' name, we commit this meeting now, at this juncture, afresh to God. Thank you for all that has taken place. Thank you for the little voices that have led us tonight in the worship of thy great name. And O God, we come now to the preaching of divine truth. I confess my inadequacy to deal with what is before me in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in holy blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and power. Bind the devil and all that would array themselves against the preaching of Christ, and extend the everlasting kingdom of God and of grace. Even in this meeting tonight, we ask in Jesus' name, Amen. Isaiah, as many of you know, was a prophet in Israel about 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Jewish scholars believe that Isaiah himself was a member of the royal family of Israel, with his father being the brother to King Uzziah. Isaiah, his name, it means helper. And he certainly lived up to his name. He lived up to that name because Isaiah was a tremendous asset to the nation of Israel for good in the days in which he lived. This book that we have read from tonight, the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, was of great use to the Church of Christ, both in the Old Testament and indeed to the Church of Christ today. It served for conviction of sin. It gave direction and duty. It gave consolation and comfort in the time of trouble. And the truths contained in the prophecy of Isaiah, like all truths, are written for this reason, that we might believe on the name of the Son of God, and that believing, we might have life through his name. Dear people, eternal life is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom this book presents. It was Dr. Thomas Chalmers A great Scottish theologian and Presbyterian of bygone days, who said this, an unsaved in the meeting, I want you to hear what he said. The sum and substance of the preparation needed for a coming eternity is that you believe what the Bible tells you and you do what the Bible bids you. Let me repeat that statement. The sum and substance of the preparation needed for a coming eternity is that you believe what the Bible tells you and you do what the Bible bids you. Turning to the sixth verse here of Isaiah 55, taking that as my text, I want to see what the Lord would bid us tonight through His holy word. Verse number 6 of Isaiah 55 says this, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call ye upon Him while He is near." And I want to speak tonight on a subject that I have just simply entitled, "The Time to be Saved is Now." The time to be saved is now. I'm going to give you a few reasons why it's now. The first one is this, it's time to be saved because of your sin. You see, dear people, the Lord here is speaking of a people who are in captivity because of their sin. The Lord tells them in verse number 7 that the wicked need to forsake their ways. That's what the Lord says there. And there again we immediately see what God thinks of sin. What God says of sin. It's wickedness. In the very first chapter of this book, God tells the people through this prophet Isaiah, "Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." And men and women, we've got to see that. That's how God describes sin. Sin is evil. Sin is wickedness. Sin is against God. God says in that text that I just referred to, it's before His eyes. And that little phrase that tells us that our sin is before God's eyes, it tells us many things. It tells us that God knows all about our sin. That it's before Him. That's against Him. And that we're accountable to God for that sin. Because unsaved in this meeting, it matters not what men, how men describe sin or say about sin. What you need to ask yourself tonight is, what does God say about sin? God says it's evil. It's wickedness. It's all committed before Him, before His all-seeing eye. Unsaved in this meeting, He tells you something else. The sin is yours. Nobody else's. When he said in verse 16 of chapter 1, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes," the Lord was drawn to the attention of the people that the sin was theirs. It was their sin. It was against God. It was a transgression of His law. And that little phrase, "before His eyes," tells us something else. It tells us it would bring accountability, it would bring judgment, and therefore it would bring punishment. The time to be saved, sinner friend, in this meeting is now, because you need to be saved from the wrath which is to come for your sin. Underline it, your sin. Nobody else's. Nobody else's fault. Your sin. James 1:15. Sin. Your sin. When it is finished, bringeth forth death. Romans 6:23. The wages of your sin is death. Sinner friends, see this. God says your sin is wickedness. It's evil. It's unclean. The little ones told us tonight, didn't they, about our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. As they quote it to us from the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, there's the first reason. The time to be saved is now, because of your sin. Because of your sin. Second reason I want to give you from this text is this. The time to be saved is now, because the Lord says it's now. He said, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while he is near. Dear unsaved in the meeting, you will never find from Genesis to Revelation the Lord telling you to put it off. You won't ever find that. From Genesis to Revelation, now is the accepted time, the present. Now is the day of salvation. You know what the wisest man that ever lived said? And Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Why was he the wisest man that ever lived? Because God gave him his wisdom. This is what he said. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And what he was saying there was this. What you need to do it now. The time to be saved is now. Because as Solomon told us there, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. And these words here in Isaiah 55 verse 6, they show us so clearly that the time to deal with one's sin is immediately. The Lord invites you to come. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That word seek or call, they're verbs. You know what that means? It means, dear unsaved in this meeting, there is action required of you tonight. There is action required of you before God. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Seek, call, forsake, return. They're verbs. There's action required of you. The first time in the Bible that man called upon God was in Genesis chapter 4 verse 26. And let me just tell you what that scene was. Man had realized that nobody was going to live forever. That man was mortal and man would die. And it says, then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. Dear unsaved in this meeting, we're all from the town around about it, or the outlying villages. The cemetery and the Tomb Road. The cemetery and the Cushion Doll Road. And the cemeteries that inhabit this borough of Ballymena tell us all one thing. We're not the first people to ever walk the streets of this town. We're not the first people to live here. We're not the first people to work here. We're not our first people to share times with our friends and loved ones. Others have done it. And tonight they're gone. And the first time in the Bible we read of men calling upon God is when the realization gripped them that sin had entered the world, that they were all going to die, that there was a day coming when they would meet God. And therefore it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Unsaved, see this. These verbs, call, seek, return, forsake sin. Oh dear unsaved, see it. The actions required of you now. God says, seek the Lord. Call upon him. I want to show you something else about the text. It's personal. Look what it says, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord. We hear of people at times and they think of this one or that one who've made maybe a bit of a mess of their life. And people say, well, that one needed to get saved. I mean, they needed it. Dear sinner, in this meeting, the Lord's saying to you, seek ye the Lord. This is personal. This is between you and God. As I've said before in preaching, when that book is open, forget about the preacher, because God is addressing the congregation. Seek ye the Lord. Call ye upon the Lord. Dear unsaved, the Lord's saying to you tonight, forsake your ways. Forsake your wicked ways. Seek him. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't usually come to church. It's great to see you. I mean that, what in my heart, great to see you. Maybe you say, you know, preacher, I know somebody and they say they are a Christian.
Well, if they're a Christian, forget it. Dear unsaved, understand this. When you stand before God in judgment day, if you stand there outside of Jesus Christ, the subject that is going to be dealt with is not somebody you knew who said they were a Christian. It's your sin. And on that basis, you need to seek the Lord. You need to call upon Him while He's near. That's why it's time to be saved now. Because of your sin. Because the Lord invites you to come now. But let me give you another reason. The text says, seek the Lord while He's to be found. Call upon Him while He is near. The Lord says it's time now because the Lord is near. Here you are in God's house. The Bible says this, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. Oh, sinner in this meeting, understand this. God is here. God is here. He tells us in His Word He's here. He's here by the Eternal Spirit. Probing, searching. The hearts of men, probing, searching, the conscience. Here in the text, God's addressing Israel. But dear sinner in the meeting, now He addresses you. He's near. He's near with invitation. He's near with direction. He's near to give you counsel. Seek the Lord. Call upon Him. I know it's Children's Day. 30th of June 2013. Marvelous day. Great to hear the children. Marvelous day. But unsaved, why not make it the day of your salvation? Because the Lord's showing you that even this night in this house, God is here. He's drawing near. And He's saying to you, seek the Lord. Call upon Him. Because of your sin. Because He says now. Because He's near. Sinner, the Lord is drawing near. Why? Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Sinner, friend, see it. The Lord's drawing near tonight with a promise of mercy. A promise of pardon. A promise of forgiveness. What a marvelous message the gospel is. Some in this meeting, very young in life. Some in this meeting, older in life. But sinner friend, in this meeting, it matters not how many years you've went on in your sin or your rebellion against God, because that's what God says it is. The Lord tells you tonight, seek Him. Call upon Him. Turn from your sin. And you'll be pardoned. You'll receive mercy. You'll be forgiven. That word pardon, it means forgiven. The Lord's coming near to all who repent. He's coming near to pardon and to forgive. The word that's translated here, pardon, is translated forgive over in the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Let me just tell you the story. It says there that the priest takes the bullock for a trespass offering to make an atonement for the sins of the people. And it says that the blood is shed. And the offering's made before the Lord for the sin which has been committed. And the sin which has been committed will be forgiven. What was the Lord showing there? He was showing, dear sinner friend, what He's shown from man fell in the garden in Genesis 3. That the way back to God's by sacrifice. It's by blood. It's by death. And friend, where does that lead us? You know where it leads us. It leads us to a cross. It leads us to Calvary. Where the final sacrifice for sin was made. When the Lamb of God, when the sin offering, offered himself without spot to God, bearing the wrath of a sin-hating God in his own soul, until the cry arose, finished. Finished the sacrifice for sin. Finished the work of redemption. Finished for all who rest on that atoning blood, that they might be forgiven, that they might be pardoned, that they might find mercy. Sinner, the Lord says, seek him. Call. You're invited to do it. Yea, you're commanded to do it. The gospel isn't take it or leave it. The gospel's repent and believe it. But here's the point. Say someone invites you to their home, and you go to that home, they'll have made preparation to receive you. You know what the Lord's saying to you tonight in this meeting as he calls upon you to come? He's telling you, preparation has been made. All things are now ready. The life you didn't live, Christ has lived. The life you couldn't live, Christ has lived. He did always those things that pleased the Father. He gave that obedience. That righteousness has been provided to cover your guilt. And then he shed his blood to wash away your sin. Sinner, all things are ready. But you must come to him. In these closing moments, the Children's Day service, the time to be saved is now because of your sin. It's now because the Lord invites you. It's now because the work is done. But it's now for another reason, sinner. It's now because there may never be another moment. Dear unsaved, Calvary guarantees to you right now, if you come to Christ in repentance and faith, he will save you. The resurrection guarantees it. The resurrection guarantees the resurrection of Christ. It guarantees to every sinner that comes, they'll be pardoned, they'll be saved, they'll be washed, they'll be forgiven. And the Lord says to you, irrespective of how many years you have sinned, your sins and iniquities, I remember no more. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the evidence that God accepted the sacrifice of Christ as a payment for sin. And all who come to him on that basis are forgiven, find mercy. Maybe I speak to one and you are troubled. Even if you've watched your little ones tonight and your soul has been stirred. And now you're beginning to feel this trouble in your soul and you know you're not right with God. And you know that it's not well with you and you've never been forgiven and you've never found mercy. You know what that is? I was just in a home the other night and I was explaining this to them, that the trouble in the soul of a sinner is caused by the Holy Ghost. Dealing with that sinner, bringing that sinner before this reality that they're in their sin, that they've sinned against God, that they're on their way to eternal hell. But what the Holy Ghost does is he convicts of sin. And then he leads to Jesus' blood. He's leading men and women for forgiveness, for pardon, that you might be saved. He's showing you the work of Christ, that in the life and death of Jesus Christ, there's all you need to save you. All you need to save you. Let me give you another reason very quickly. The reason to be saved now is this, because though he is near and though he is found, the text says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. With the thought being, there might come a day when he's not near. And when he won't be found. dear unsaved, across this congregation, if you live and die without Jesus Christ, man, woman, and go into eternity never forgiven for your sin, never pardoned, never saved, you'll stand before God unforgiven, unpardoned, an enemy of God, with no hope. Any hope of being saved, gone and gone forever. The time to be saved is now, while the Lord's to be found, while He's near, while you're before God. The young people did the life of David this year. Let me give you a little phrase that David used, that David said at a time in his life in 1 Samuel chapter 20. He said this, "There is but a step between me and death." And what David was saying there was this, that at any moment he could take his final step. And the truth is, for us all in this meeting, at any moment we could take our final step. But, sinner, let's just go back down memory lane. Let's go back to your first step. Your first steps brought you into a country. Yea, maybe even into a home. Where you heard the gospel, but certainly into a country where the gospel was preached, where saints prayed for sinners, where people did open airs, where tracts were distributed in streets. That's the country your first steps brought you into. Therefore, in the hearts of God's dear people, there was great hope that you'd be saved someday. Because your first steps had brought these privileges along your path. Sinner friend, listen. You take your final step out of Jesus Christ, though your first privilege, your first steps in life gave you all these privileges and great hope that you would be saved. You take your final step out of Christ, that final step removes all hope forever. Because that final step will usher you in to eternal damnation. Because you took a final step from time into God's eternity. And you took it without Jesus Christ. And the Lord will not be near. And the Lord will never be found off. Sinner, understand this, why you must come to Christ, why you must get to the Savior. Let me give you a final reason. You need to get saved now. You need to come to Christ now because of the hell that awaits. Isaiah in the 5th chapter, he spoke of hell, fearful words. He said, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." He was speaking of a land that knew not God. There was no knowledge of God. There was no knowledge of the truth. And Isaiah said, "To such a land hell enlarged its mouth to receive them." Because they died without Christ. They died in the ignorance of their sin. Oh, sinner, see the gospel message to your heart tonight. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his own way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You can be saved tonight. Final moments of Children's Day 2013. You can be saved. I spoke a moment ago about the final step in David's life. Sinner, listen to me. Jesus Christ took a final step, stepped into death, disarmed it of its sting, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, that all who come to him in repentance and faith will receive pardon, will be forgiven. Sinner, would you like to be saved? Would you like to know that it's well with your soul? Would you like to know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? I think you would. I think if everybody's honest in your own heart before God, we all want that. Well, sinner, I've shown you why it's now. It's now because of your sin. It's now because the Lord says it's now. It's now because this is the only moment you're guaranteed of. But listen, it's now because all things are ready. But it's now, sinner, because you have no guarantee what another moment brings. And therefore the time to be saved is now. Right now. What a large congregation tonight. The eye of God. There's a line through it. In the eye of God, there's a difference. Because in this gathering, and God knows who they are, some have been redeemed with sacred blood. But in this gathering, some have not. In this gathering, some are on their way to heaven. In this gathering, some are not. Tell me, dear people. I speak on behalf of every member of this church. Will we meet in heaven? If we never meet again this side of eternity, will we see you around the Savior's feet? Will we meet you at the crystal fountain? We're no better than you, dear friend. God forbid that anybody would ever think that. But we are forgiven. We have been cleansed. The sum and substance, the preparation needed for a coming eternity, is that you believe what the Bible tells you, and you do what the Bible bids you. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And while every head is bowed, and every eye is closed, and we're before God, and I'm just about to close this meeting. Maybe you are troubled. Maybe you know the Lord has been speaking to you tonight, and you'd like to sort this matter out tonight. Well, sinner, you could do nothing better just in these moments and lift your heart heavenward and call on the Lord to save you. Take the prayer of the penitent there in the temple. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he'll save you now. If you want counsel, speak to me at the door. Mr. Greer has to go on to another meeting now up in Ballykeel. But I'll be here. Some of the elders will be here. If you want to speak to us, you make that need known. But sinner friend, come to Christ. Be my joy to help you. Closing moments of Children's Day 2013. Come to Christ. Just as you are, without that one plea, but that the blood of Christ was shed for sinners. Come and wash. Come and be clean. May God write his word in your heart. Father in heaven, take thy word. Take all that's been of thee, bless it to every heart. Glorify Christ in the conversion of dear people. And O God, our prayer is a simple one.
May this entire congregation, children, parents and grandparents, and family friends, may we all meet in that city whose builder and maker is God. And until that day, until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with the Church of Christ. Tonight and forevermore, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.